Over the last several weeks, I've been asking God for His guidance and His direction, and I know that's the same thing you all have been doing for our church, and as the Lord spoke to me, He wanted me to be strengthened and encouraged by Him through His Word. And one of the areas of Scripture that I really had speaking to me and resounding in my heart is 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13. And it's about a time in the life of Israel where God has asked Samuel to do something that Samuel is very anxious to do, but also at the same time very scared, because what he's been asked to do is go find and anoint the one God has called to be king. Even though Saul is still sitting on the throne. See, those of you who know about the history of the Old Testament and everything of the Israelites, they came to a point in time where they were looking around them and they said, everybody else has a leader. All other nations have a leader. We want somebody to help lead and govern us just so we can look like the others around us, so we don't give off an appearance of weakness to others or anything. God tried to encourage them in their hearts that I am your leader. I am the one who is leading and guiding you. You don't need someone to sit on a throne or somewhere in a palace to tell you, because I am on my throne in my palace, and that should be good enough for you. But as time went on, God gave in a little and a little at a time. And what he granted them was a time of the judges, where they would have someone to sit over and oversee, where it wasn't just left up to the people in the different tribes to decide what was right and what was wrong. He would have appointed people that were called by God to sit in judgment over the people of Israel as they lived here on earth. That wasn't good enough. They said, God, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else, and we don't want to show any signs of weakness. We want a leader that we can look to and point to and say, he's the one guiding us and directing us. Yes, God, by your will. That's what we'd want it to be. And what came about was an anointing of Saul, who wasn't necessarily God's chosen one. And throughout this time, they come to see the different things as Saul falls away from leading in an upright manner, and he starts to follow his own selfish desires. And God steps in and says, Samuel, you need to go and anoint the one that I have called to be king. Now, the synopsis I gave you is really a very condensed version of what truly goes on in the books of 1 Samuel and the 1 and 2 Kings and Judges. But the basic premise is there. God's people want a leader. And they want a leader they can see, a physical leader, not just one that is a spiritual leader. But they want that physical leader to guide them and direct them in the right path. So this physical leader also needs to be a spiritual leader. So God opens up Samuel's heart, and even at the risk of him losing his life for treason and stepping out against Saul in doing this, Samuel listens and goes and does God's will. And it would be years, months after this that David would actually sit on the throne as king. But he went to find David And also within this little story, there's a message in verse 7 of how easily we can be distracted by the things around us instead of really looking and trying to discern God's will. So as we read, keep all that in mind. The background, and also what you know to be the future of the Israelites, and also our present state as a church and as individuals. God addressed Samuel. How long are you going to mope over Saul? You know I've rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your flask with anointing oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've spotted the very king I want among his sons. I can't do that, said Samuel. Saul will hear about it and kill me. God said, take a heifer with you and announce, I've come to lead you in worship of God with this heifer as a sacrifice. Make sure Jesse gets invited. I'll let you know what to do next. I'll point out the one you are to anoint. Samuel did what God told him. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the town fathers greeted him, but apprehensively. Is there something wrong? The only time Samuel would come necessarily is when he was to speak judgment upon people and tell them they were doing something wrong in God's eyes. So they were in fear as soon as Samuel showed up. Boy, oh boy, we got it coming in for us. We got it out, God's got it out for us. And Samuel says, no, nothing's wrong. I've come to sacrifice this heifer and lead you in the worship of God. Prepare yourselves, be consecrated, and join me in worship. He made sure Jesse and his sons were also consecrated and called to worship. Then they arrived. Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, here he is, God's anointed. But God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. Jesse then called up Abinadab and presented him to Samuel. I'm glad they only list three of the names in this. And presented him to Samuel. Samuel said, this man isn't God's choice either. Next, Jesse presented Shema, that's how it's pronounced, I believe. Samuel said, no, this man isn't either. Jesse presented his seven sons to Samuel. Samuel was blunt with Jesse. God hasn't chosen any of these. Then he asked Jesse, is this it? Are there no more sons? Well, yes, there's the runt. But he's out tending the sheep. Samuel ordered Jesse, go get him. We're not moving from this spot until he's here. Jesse sent for him. He was brought in, the very picture of health, bright-eyed, good-looking. God said, up on your feet, anoint him. This is the one. Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him, with his brothers standing around watching. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. Samuel left and went home to Ramah. And the section that really is something that you've heard is another, it's in Scripture in other ways too, is God looks at the heart, not at the person. But look what happens at the end. What was the picture of David? David was the very picture of health, bright-eyed and good-looking. He had a ruddy complexion, whatever that indicates, but that ruddy means reddish. So he was a healthy man, young man. He was good-looking, and that would come back to bite him too. But there are two wills of God, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, discerning God's will. We never want to get in the case of eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch God's will by the toe. Then he'll holler, no, no, no. You shouldn't pick it that way. No. God's two wills, the two wills of God. There's God's perfect will. The will that he would have lined out before us and make our life a living heaven. The will that he has for our life that is the perfect will of God. That is what he would have us do, is to find that path in life. As individuals, as churches, as a country, as a world. And the way to that perfect will is lined out in his word. Following him, following the ways and precepts of life that he's lined out for us, looking to Jesus as the one and only Savior, and following the teachings that he had, loving our neighbor as ourself, and loving God first and foremost with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the way to find the perfect will of God, is living in that way. Thing is, we're human. God knows that. God also gave us a thing called free will. God gave us the ability to choose what we will and will not do. No matter how much sense it makes, no matter how much better our life may get from it, sometimes we are clouded in our thinking because we get selfish. We get misdirected by temptations. So many different things in life are vying for our attention. God can't get in a word edgewise sometimes. Whoa, okay. And that's where the next one comes in. God's permissive will, permissible will. God's permissive will. Where God says, you know what? It's your choice. I'll let it go on. But know that it's not my best for you. Similar to what happened with the judges and with Saul being anointed king. I'll let this happen, but no, it's not my perfect will for you. My perfect will for you would still be to be without a king, without judges, and listening to my direction and guidance through your high priest, who should be consecrated to me and me alone. God's permissible will, or permissive will, is where God says, you know what? I have so much more for you. I have such a better life for you, but if this is what you choose, then I love you so much not to restrain your will from taking that as what you desire. Even at the risk of it being his permissive will saying, you know what? If you're going to choose someone else other than me to be your God and to be your Savior, so be it. I love you enough to let you make your own choices. I'm not going to force you into loving me, because then it wouldn't be love at all. So God's permissive will is something that we struggle with every day. Most of us, I would say, are living in God's permissive will for our lives right now, not his perfect will for our lives. And finding that is so rare in small tastes sometimes that people get discouraged and want to turn away from God altogether. Because his permissive will isn't the best that he has to give us. It's like Cain bringing his sacrifice and it not being from his heart, not being the best that he had. And God looking at Abel and saying, you've done exactly what you needed to do, but Cain, what were you thinking? You think I'd be satisfied with your half heart, your half-hearted attempt to worship me and please me? No. And that's what all of us get faced with on a daily basis. Are we going to half-heartedly follow God and his will for our lives, or are we going to just finally say, God, you have so much better for me. Help me to seek and find your will. Help me to be as David was, a man after your own heart. Sure, not perfect in every way, but trying and striving his best to follow God's will every day. And that's what brings us to the word discerning. Discern. Now, I'm in a portion of my life where I'm trying, and Amy and my girls, we're trying to discern God's will for us in the next step of our lives as far as ministry goes. Our lives are affected in so many ways by the choices we make and what we choose to hear as direction. And you all, we as a church, I'm still part of this church, we are faced with a decision also of who would be the next pastor, pastoral family And I'm not here to try and sway your decision one way or another. I'm just trying, well, I am. Yes, I am. To God's will. That's what I'm trying to sway it to. It's not just, you know what, this is the best we can come up with right now. So, God forbid we have to wait any longer. But let's just take what's in front of us now and pick between the two. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. If that's the way you're looking at it, then neither one of these two candidates you've looked at is the one. You need to look further into what God's will is for you as individuals and as a church, for us. Now, that's all I'm going to say about the two. But that's the basic point of this message, is to encourage you and to encourage myself, because I have the ability to just accept the call right now. But is it God's will for me and my family? I don't even have the eeny, meeny, miny, mo right in front of me. I just have eeny and then nothing. Eeny, nothing. Eeny, nothing. And, I mean, when you're looking at it from that perspective, there's not even the... I don't mean anything by this, but the way that we look at things is sometimes we just take the best of two evils in life. The least offensive, the least, I guess, outwardly, what's that? Yeah, the easiest choice. So what happens is we end up not seeking God's will or not finding God's will, but God just saying, okay, if that's what your choice is, then I'll do my best to make this work for you. But that's going to rely on you all seeking my perfect will in this situation just as much as you were trying to or you didn't in the choice that you made. And the thing is, our lives are usually pointed in one direction. Well, we'll just take the easiest or the path of least resistance is what I always say. Humans are so much like electricity. They will follow the path of least resistance to the ground. And we end up running our heads into the ground after we realize, well, this wasn't really the way God wanted us to go. But, nevertheless, we're in this position and we need to do something about it. Well, and then you have the habit in front of you where you usually do that, so the next choice you make is usually in that direction. And the whole thing goes back to the joke about the church board meeting and coming to this decision that really couldn't go one way or another because nobody was in agreement. And finally, someone stands up and says, well, maybe we need to pray and ask God's will in this situation. At the last point in this meeting, and then another voice speaks up from the back, says, what, has it come to that? And that the sad case of affairs is that's usually the way a lot of churches operate. Is, you know what? Make the choice and pray God's blessing on it later. Instead of praying for God's choice and getting the blessing at the same time. So, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, discerning God's will. Discern diligently. With due diligence. I've heard that phrase this morning outside my office. Somebody said due diligence. And I was like, wow, right on line. Right in line. Diligently investigating spiritual cues. Evaluating and reflecting needs. To discern when it speaks to God's will for our lives. Discerning is diligently investigating spiritual cues from the Holy Spirit, from God Himself, and evaluating and reflecting those in reference to our needs. Is that the way we do business as a church? This is a hypothetical. Don't answer. You all know the answer because those of you who are at our church meetings for worship for business know how things are operated, know how things are done, and you know your heart when you walk into those situations. So only you can answer that question. I can't. I know my intent is to do this whenever I enter into that meeting's setting. Sometimes, though, it doesn't come as our first choice. We just get there, oh, well, we don't really have that much business to discuss, so we'll just go there and get it taken care of, and hopefully we'll be out of here in an hour. I'm sorry, that bothers me sometimes. It bothers me all the time, really. We're going to put a time limit on God's speaking to us, and if it doesn't happen within this hour, you know what? It wasn't God's will. I'm sorry. That's not the way God's business of His church, of His body, is to be operated. If we need to, we need to. And it's not that we shut the doors in an hour. And that never has happened. Thank God. But when things happen to where we really need to discuss and listen to points of view coming from God speaking to someone and someone over here, and it's not a matter of debating the fact, it's a matter of hearing God's heart through the individuals that He's speaking to and discerning that. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it can be done in an hour. I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying to put a time limit on things, just as much as for you all to say, as a church, we need to choose a pastor, and you know what? We have choices in front of us, and we have an amount of time where, you know, Dean's contract is up in so many days, and we need to feel comforted in knowing that we have somebody to replace him. You got somebody to replace me already, because I haven't been the one that you should have been listening to. God is the one you need to be listening to. And all my time here during these last two, some odd, almost 3 years now, I pray and hope that you were listening to God's Spirit speaking to you through me at times, but not listening to what Dean says. So you do have someone to lead you in the time when I and my family go. You have God, and you guys have great lay leadership, very strong, and you have a lot of people to pull from in the community that are pulpit supply. So nothing needs to be rushed. You don't need to feel like it's A or B, and that's it. You just need to realize that the best choice is going to be the one that has a peace about it in all hearts. And it doesn't mean that the pastorate of this next person is going to last forever either. God has seasons. Seasons for growth, seasons for change, seasons for various different things, as Ecclesiastes tells us. And your next pastor may not last longer or as long as me. But pray and seek God's guidance and discernment so that when that change does happen, it is also the will of God. And that's where I can say to you, my letter that came to you as my resignation came as a clear decision from God that this is where I need to go. It was nothing personal, just God's pointing me in this direction for a reason, and I need to see the direction He's pointing me in, and I need to accept that or I need to reject it. And in rejecting it, it would have done more harm than good. And I'm always out for listening to God as much as I can. So, they're looking at the clock. Diligently seeking God's will by diligently investigating spiritual cues, seeing and hearing those things from God as they come to you, as they come to us as a church, and then evaluating them and reflecting upon them in reference to the needs that we have before us. Well, why is God saying this? Why is God directing us in this direction? Why is this so clear? What spiritual need is He trying to meet? What need is He trying to meet in our lives? Is it a need to realize that our strength doesn't come from someone standing behind a pulpit? Or is it, it all comes from Him? Or is it saying that, you know what? We come here to worship God. These are all just ideas that have been going through my head because I think about these things when I'm discerning my next step. Because I don't want ever a choice to be made just because, you know what? Dean looks good. That's okay, no laughing. But, or you know what? Dean's got a good sense of humor. No. And I want this to be said of me when I leave here. I'd like it to be said of me. I hope it's possible. That Dean sought God's guidance and God's will in every step he took. Sure, I may have got sidetracked on the way because something looked to be what it was and wasn't. But we all make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I never told you when I came here I was going to be perfect. If you got that message, you heard it from someone else, not me. But also in realizing that nothing will ever be perfect when humans have a say in it. Know that that's all the more reason to listen to God's say. Because He is always perfect and always right. I may like to think I'm right most of the time. All right, Amy will say, she married Mr. Right. And like I liked what Dave said. Dave said about when he got married, Dave Holm. He said he got married and his wife didn't realize that he was Mr. Right when they got married and then found out that his first name was all, or his middle name was all the time I'm right, or something to that extent. And sometimes we get that mindset that we have the right decision to make. We have the guidance that we need. And if it's coming from ourselves, then it's coming from the wrong place. If it's coming from confidence in our own abilities, then it's coming from the wrong place. It's coming from our history speaking to us and us making decisions solely based on history, and that's the wrong decision to make. If it's taking and reflecting on the history that we have in reference to what God was trying to say during that history, then that's the decision you need to make. Always evaluating and reflecting these needs against the spiritual cues. All right. Well, it's a lot to wrap your mind around. I know it is because it's a lot for me to wrap my mind around, and I got a small one. And a lot of you have bigger minds than me. But we're all small-minded when it comes to knowing everything. We have a limited capacity. God doesn't. And we need to seek God's leadership and God's wisdom. So, we were going to sing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And just want to encourage you in a couple of those verses. Heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we're not going to sing it together, but I want you to see some of these verses. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, when you're discouraged and you don't think anything is going to be able to break through the darkness, remember that it's not you that needs to break through, but you need to let God break through your darkness. You have to give Him permission to come in. He doesn't just bum rush the door. You have to give Him permission to come in and speak to you. Don't fear. Take courage, my friend. God's answer is near. And that's all that has to say. But God has so much more to say to us if we will just listen and discern from his words, to discern from His Holy Spirit, instead of just trying to operate things in a secular mentality, making decisions just because decisions need to be made. pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your care for us and how much you seek to give us that perfect way. Help us to hear you and discern your will amidst all the noises around us, all the distractions around us. Help us to be still and know. And like the original text says, when you translate that "be still," Lord, it's you're telling us to just be quiet. In other words, shut up and listen to me. Lord, help us to listen to you. Help us to hear your direction, your guidance for us as individuals, as a church, and as a country. We have leaders that are in front of us every day telling us the choices that they're wanting to make and the decisions they're wanting to make and the changes that they're wanting to make. Lord, if all that from the local church all the way up through the world's decisions are not grounded in your will, they will be imperfect. And as imperfect, they will only be reflecting more of us and less of you. Help us to always seek to reflect you more than us in everything we do and all we say and the decisions that we make. And may people be able to say when all is said and done that we sought to be men and women after God's own heart. As is the case with the testimony about David. We want nothing more, Lord, than your will for us. And we help us to be satisfied with nothing less. That good, that perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.